Hi, my name is Dr. Sara Rosengren. I'm a professor of marketing and retailing at the Stockholm School of Economics. I'm also one of the co-authors of Marketing 5th Edition by Oxford University Press. In this podcast, I will talk about chapters 13 and branding. And the chapter sets out to explain the characteristics and principal types of brand and branding, and to discuss ways in which brand work through associations and personalities. We also briefly examine two perspectives on branding based on relational and co-creation. We explain how brands can be built and describe the principal issues associated with branding in services, B2B, internal and global contexts. We also explore the notion of brand equity and why it is important to managers. Although brands are everywhere in contemporary society, and generally agreed to be important for marketers and companies, there is a lack of common definition of the term. One of the more common definitions state that a brand is a name, symbol, word, or mark that it identifies and distinguishes a proposition or company from its competitors. This definition focuses only on the identification of products through a brand. In practice, brands also consist of a differentiation element or a brand knowledge element that helps it set it apart and make it meaningful to the customers. Typically, there is agreement that both brand awareness or identification and brand attitude or brand differentiation should be seen as defining elements of a brand. In the branding process, decisions need to be made with regards to both identification and differentiation. So questions could be about appropriate brand names, but also about appropriate associations or personalities to associate with the brand and the brand name. A brand can be distinguished from its proposition or unbranded commodity counterparts by the perceptions and feeling that customers have about its attributes and performance. A brand is a product or a service that has an added value due to its identification. This added value has been deliberately designed and presented to augment the product in a way that makes it recognizable and meaningful to its customers. So why are brands important? Brands can create value for both consumers and companies. Looking at the value created for consumers, it is due to the fact that brands help people identify the preferred offerings. Brands help people reduce levels of perceived risk and in doing so improve the quality of the shopping experience. Brands help people gauge the quality of products and services or experiences. Brands can reduce the amount of time that must be spent making proposition-based decisions, and thus they can decrease the time you must spend shopping around. Brands can help people provide psychological reassurance or reward, especially through offering that you buy on an occasional basis. And brands can also inform consumers about the source of an offering, like where it comes from or its origin company. For manufacturers and retailers, brands provide value as they can increase the financial valuation of companies, enable premium prices. Brands can help to differentiate one proposition from competitive offerings. Brands can deter competitors from entering the market. Brands can encourage cross-selling to other brands that are owned by the same manufacturer. Brands can help develop customer trust, loyalty, retention, and repeat purchase behaviors. Brands help in the development and use of integrated marketing communications. Brands are important in corporate identity programs, and brands provide some legal protection. Looking at the type of brands that are out there, you typically characterize them into three categories: manufacturer brands, distributor brands, and generic brands. Manufacturer brands are brands that are promoted heavily and for which customers or consumers develop preferences based on performance, experience, communications, and availability. Distributor brands are often referred to as private label brands, and it refers to the identities and images developed by wholesalers, distributors, dealers, and retailers who make up the marketing channels to enable them to also sell products. Generic brands are sold without any promotional materials or any means of identifying the companies. The packaging displays only the information required by law, so often the only form of identification is to the relevant product category. For instance, this is milk or flour. According to Keller, who is one of the most influential branding scholars, successful branding is best accomplished by considering the brand building process as a sequence of steps. First, you need to enable your customers to identify with the brand and help them make associations with a specific product class or customer need. Then you have to establish, in the second step, what the brand means by linking various tangible and intangible brand associations to this identification. In the third step, you encourage customer responses based around brand-related judgment and feeling, so both the more cognitive side and more emotional side. And in the fourth step, you foster an active relationship between customers and the brand. You lead to higher engagement. In this process, you always need to balance rational and emotional considerations. Keller recommends brand building in a way that's summarized in a brand pyramid framework, and I recommend that you read more about it in the book. Although branding typically starts with a managerial perspective, for instance as Keller's, you can learn a lot about brands by shifting perspective. Many researchers draw on sociological, psychological, and sociocultural interpretations about brand and their consumption in order to better understand brands and their role in society and business. Two important perspectives are the brand relationship perspective and the brand co-creation perspective. The brand relationship perspective considers that a brand mark is a relational asset and the value to the firm is contingent on past, present, and future interactions with various firm stakeholders. More specifically, it focuses on the role that brands play in everyday life of consumers. A key finding from research on brand relationships is that the meanings that consumers attribute to brands may differ from meanings identified by brand managers. The brand co-creation perspective questions the assumptions made in the managerial perspective that marketers develop and manage brands, while individual consumers are passive and can influence brand meaning only through their own perceptions of the brand as suggested by the brand relationship perspective. In the brand co-creation perspective, it is clear that consumers can take over branding activities and the marketer is not performing, and they can actively co-create the meaning of the brand not only for themselves but also for others. Examples could be by influencing perceptions of a brand through customer-generated advertising, new product development, social media, and word of mouth. Coming back to the managerial perspective, the role of branding can differ between contexts. In services, a brand is an important asset because the intangibility of services requires that customers can be helped to understand the value associated with a specific service offering. In business market, a brand is important because research shows that buyers make decisions based on emotional benefits and self-expressive benefits, not only utilitarian elements. In internal marketing, a brand is important because employees are an integral part of the customer brand experience. In global marketing, the management of global brands require there to be a brand consistency across market, which can be a challenge. Of course, the importance of brands and thus their value varies across countries and across product categories. The value of a specific brand is often assessed in terms of brand equity. Brand equity is a measure of the value and strength of a brand. It is an assessment of a brand's wealth, sometimes referred to as goodwill. There are two main views on how brand equity should be valued: the financial perspective and the marketing perspective. The financial perspective is founded on consideration of a brand's asset value, which is based on the net value of all the cash the brand is expected to generate over its lifetime. So net present value calculation kind of thing. The marketing perspective is based on image, beliefs, and core associations that consumers have about the particular brand, and the degree of loyalty and retention the brand is able to sustain. So very much focused on the future customer behaviors that it ensures. Okay, so that's it for now. Hope you enjoyed this chapter. Take care. Bye.